Let's just take it from the top. So give me the metal, feel the beat of the rhythm of the night. Tonight, tonight, working on a nightmare.
You are listening to Night Vision.
Hello and welcome to Night Vision, a multi-platform audio magazine presented by the Indiana State Council of the Knights of Columbus, designed to enrich, enlighten, educate, and entertain. Hello and welcome to an all-new episode of Night Vision. The National Eucharistic Congress is coming to Indianapolis, Indiana, July 17th through the 21st of 2024. At this historic gathering, Catholics from every corner and every parish in our nation will come together in Indianapolis to reconsecrate their hearts to the source and summit of our faith. Every movement needs a moment. This is ours. Scott Schutte recently sat down with one of the event leads, Jaime Renya. Here's their conversation.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Scott Schutte, State Deputy with the Indiana Knights of Columbus. Today I'm joined by Jaime Renya. What exactly is your title for the National Eucharistic Congress?
I am the event lead for the National Eucharistic Congress.
What does that kind of mean, event lead?
Well, you know, event lead just means that I am part of a team that is helping logistically prepare for our gathering that we're looking at next year in Indianapolis in July. So basically, I'm helping with a lot of the areas of volunteers, of logistics when it comes to hotels and other places, when we're looking at parking or other stuff. There's a lot of big areas, moving parts, and they're kind of those hidden areas that are moving parts as well, too. So it encompasses a lot of things that some people get to see and others don't get to see. They're behind the scenes.
There's a pilgrimage. It starts in May in the four corners of the U.S., East Coast, South Coast, West and North. Then they're all going to take about 2 months to get to Indianapolis. I hear the folks in California get to ride in a car on occasion because of the distance. Correct. But everybody else is just walking, which I think that's kind of neat. Kind of reminds me of the El Camino pilgrimage over in Portugal, Spain. Looking at that, you know, how are things progressing in that area? Is that something that is making good headway?
Oh, yes, definitely. This is historic. It never has happened from the four parts of the nation. And so it's already on the webpage for key areas. Now, of course, probably in between big dioceses and stuff like that, they're probably still fine-tuning some of those logistics. But in reference to when it launches on May 17th, that weekend, until it goes to the Indianapolis for the National Eucharistic Congress, it already has been mapped out. It's already been looked at. And of course, as of right now, there is openings for people who want to be the young people who want to be part of that pilgrimage, who want to accompany during those 2 months as well, too. So someone can apply there. And it's beautiful. It's an opportunity for them, 19 to 29 years old, because there'll be a lot of walking. And of course, like anything else, you never know. There'll be areas where there's construction or weather. Of course, you have to, for safe reasons, take the car. But that's the whole point, is to just go and just be there with our Lord as it travels throughout the United States.
Like you said, this is unique. This is the first time they're doing this in the U.S., in association with the National Eucharistic Congress. So they're coming from New Haven. They're coming from
Brownsville, yes.
Mm-hmm. In Texas. San Francisco, and then Lake Itasca, mm-hmm. out of Minnesota. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And I've talked to some of the other state deputies around the U.S., and they're all excited about this. And they're not quite sure how they're going to fit that in. I know I've got councils here, mm-hmm. looking at saying, okay, well, we can get them water and sandwiches and, mm-hmm. while they're proceeding through Indiana. And I know we've got a lot of guys excited about that opportunity. What made you guys choose Indianapolis?
Well, you know, this was something that the bishops had chosen, the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. So when this happened almost 2 years ago, it was decided. And the bishops had not only looked at the revival, but like where? And so there were cities that they were looking at. And I think even your bishop was kind of like, hey, you know, I didn't know I was in the lead, much less. And then the news came that it was selected, the Archdiocese of Indianapolis and the city. because of a lot of its logistics. It's held a lot of big events in the past. And so for some, it is more of a central point for people who are traveling as well, too. So there's a lot of different reasons that we were informed with the bishops of why it was selected. But definitely, as we know, it was by the Holy Spirit that guided us and brought us here.
Sure, sure. And I'm hoping that our Hoosier hospitality can be spotlighted here. Because I know, you know, we've hosted NCYC since 2011. They always have Future Farmers of America. They've got all these big conventions down here. But National Catholic Youth Conference is a big deal for us because they've been here for, a dozen years now. Mm-hmm. And it's so great to see 25,000 youth running around the city. And they're all exactly. Catholic. And they're all looking for a better relationship with Christ. And I'm looking at this as that next step. Mm-hmm. We're going to be reaching out to the adults. Mm-hmm. Actually, we'll be reaching out to everybody with this one. And, bringing the Eucharist to the public stage to say, look, it's Jesus.
Yeah.
It's not just a piece of bread stuck in a fancy little window. Mm-hmm. This is Christ, and he had a good message, and we're happy to share that with you. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I always go back and am in awe of how God works still in our lives and through our bishops and through the church. Just because the bishops were led to this revival, led to this what we would call it's mission mode. It's one of those things where we're definitely looking at this is ministerial, this is mission. It is not trying to get a be in another program. It's not about that. As Bishop Cousins, who is the one that's leading this from the bishops' side, he says he wants to start a fire, not a program. And that's always important for us to remember, because sometimes it's so easy for us to try to put things in boxes. So when I look at this and I'm thinking, in my life I try to put things in an order, and yet sometimes with God I don't realize until afterwards that I connect the dots of my past life and say, oh, this is why he led me here. Did I know last year that I was going to be here in Indianapolis sharing with some volunteers, talking to you here, talking to our people, our brothers and sisters on the radio about this event that hasn't happened in 83 years? I did not know. But when you say yes to God, strap on the seatbelt and be ready for the ride.
Absolutely, absolutely. So 83 years ago, when was that, in the 50s then? In the 40s, 30s.
I think so, yes. It's on the webpage and stuff with the timeline. And so there have been some Eucharistic congresses, but not a national one that we were trying to look at. And of course, there's international Eucharistic congresses that are happening. There's some that have already happened. There's some that are happening. And it's beautiful. And one of the things about a congress that also connects not only just the Eucharist, but the procession, that's beautiful. Because just by processing out in the streets, you're witnessing to others who are just driving or living or working near the area. And their curiosity is like, what's going on? Like, I remember when in my diocese in Corpus Christi, Texas, we had our Feast of Corpus Christi procession and the streets, and we would go to different areas, and we would have three altar stops. One at the Mother Teresa shelter for the homeless. The other one was in a parish with a lot of immigrants and Spanish-speaking individuals and people who were just poor that were there. And then the third one was in front of the county jail. And I remember, because I did prison ministry, and I would go there, and they thought it was a parade at first. They said, why are all these people coming in front of the county jail? Because they could see through the windows. And it was amazing to know that all the pilgrims in our diocese were processing with the Eucharist. And when we stopped at the county jail, you just hear the pounding from the inmates on the windows and pounding. And when our bishop placed the monstrance and knelt, it paused for a few seconds. It was like it was in sync almost. Like it was almost coordinated. And a gush of wind just kind of came for a few seconds. And then after that, the pounding started happening again. It was so moving, not just for those who are brothers and sisters who are incarcerated, but for the pilgrims who witness that, wow, these are brothers and sisters. They can come out, and they were yearning for Jesus. They were just pounding, showing us their rosaries, showing us their Bibles through the window. That was their way of communicating, saying, I acknowledge, I'm here, thank you. And it was just powerful. And my hope and prayer is that we can have this times 100 in Indianapolis here as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I know, let's see, this started 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was June 19th.
The bishops had decided 2 years ago. Last year started with the diocese.
I'm sorry. You're correct. Last year was diocese year. So last year it was Father's Day weekend, because I remember that. And all five of our dioceses had a Eucharistic procession. And I got to go to two of them. I went up to the Lafayette Diocese, which they held up in Kokomo. And we did that in the morning. And then in Indianapolis, they did theirs in the afternoon. In Kokomo, it was a smaller group, but it was very organized, very well done. Bishop Doherty did a great job. Indianapolis, much larger group. The nights, we were asked to kind of be sidewalk security, in that we would be along the path, make sure that there was water for people if they needed it, keep them from wandering out into traffic. You know, because they're focused on the Eucharist and praying, and they may just walk a little sideways. So, and it was a good time. It was hot, because it was, you know, summer. But, you know, we did a good job, and it was great, and it was kind of neat. They got a little wagon, and they dressed it all up, and they had the canopy, and and the priests were, they actually put a couple of kneelers on there, so there were a couple of priests praying, and then the lead celebrant was, so they had, like, staggered on the on there. And it was kind of neat how they did it. But we went from basically the diocese cathedral and went down almost to the convention center, where we're going to be at this year. This year it's more parish-based. And I've heard a lot of parishes have done it. I know my home parish did one. And there's still some that are going on. So I'm hoping that all of our listeners are able to do that. But when they get here next July, on the 17th, is the official start here in Indianapolis. And it's going 17th through the 24th. So 17, 18, 19, 20. I'm sorry, 21st. So about 5 days. And in there, I know we're doing a procession. So that's going to be on that Saturday.
That Saturday, yeah, the 20th.
And I'm hoping that we can outdo what we did here at the diocese level. Because I think we had... Well, I heard up in South Bend, Fort Wayne, they had close to 5,000 people. I'm thinking we had maybe 2,500 here in Indy. But it was very interesting, because there were people who were just downtown, didn't realize what was going on, and they just stopped to watch it. And I'm hoping that with the 20, 30,000 people that are going to be here for this event, that... we make an even bigger statement as we go through the city. So tell me more about what the plan is for those 5 days.
So the procession, so on Wednesday, of course, like anything else, it'll start in the evening, because people are traveling from different parts of the United States. I mean, we even have guests who have registered that are coming from out of the country, because they're just curious. They're excited about, like, wait, what is this about? So, you know, people maybe through their connections with someone in the United States say, hey, I'm registering. So we've got people who are registering from different countries. But really, we've got a lot of people from the United States that are participating. And so we already have thousands of people that have already registered. And, of course, more are still registering. And as I mentioned earlier in a meeting, it's very hard, when, especially working in the Catholic Church or in the church in general, to invite people, and everybody waits till the last minute. Well, this was one of those very few moments when, even before any information came up with the details about the talks and all that stuff, people registered because they just got excited. They just felt like, this is where I need to be, not knowing all the details yet. And so Wednesday, of course, we'll be opening up with sessions, and then of course we'll have breakout sessions. We're going to have different languages, and for those people who say, well, I don't know, I speak maybe Spanish or maybe I speak Vietnamese and I don't know if this is something that I can participate, we're going to look at translation equipment that now, through a lot of the technology that is up to date compared to months ago or even a year ago, is so up to date that it'll automatically translate. So we're hoping to have some of that there for people who are like in a big session and they're like, wow, I heard it, but it's in English and I don't know that language. So this is where they'll have that. We'll have interpreters for American Sign Language who will be there as well too. People will say, you know what, I'm in a wheelchair or I don't know if this is accessible. It will be accessible, wheelchair accessible. We are looking at a lot of things. Now, once again, this is a big place. The venues are in the Lucas Oil Stadium and Indianapolis Convention Center. So it is a large space. Okay. But my hope and prayer is that people get excited for the participation of the talks. There'll be confession, there'll be daily mass. You know, Bishop Cousin wants confession like all the time. So if someone says, I don't know where to go to confession, I guarantee you there's priests that are going to be available here for confessions. We're going to have young people. We're going to have families. You know, there's going to be things for the ministries, those people in ministries, for the youth. We have youth groups that have already pre-registered. I mean, you know, we just got people that are excited even before they knew all the details. So my hope and prayer is that as they continue the daily task of coming together and being in adoration, attending mass, listening to the talks, going to confession, praying, fellowship, getting to know others, because sometimes we don't realize that the church is so big until we get to know one another. And to know that people from Indianapolis are going to see people from Texas, from Minnesota, from California, from New York, from Florida, from all these places coming together as one body of Christ so that we can be a witness to the people here to say, yes, we're Catholic and we're here and we love Jesus and this is how we want to serve. We want to make sure that it's looked at in a way where it is more about a humbling way in the sense of how we want to serve our God. And so it's to revive the leaders so that after that week of coming together and just renewing and reviving ourselves with Jesus in the Eucharist, we can go back to our parishes, to our diocese, and bring that flame, bring that energy, bring that charism, and reignite that in our parishes and our diocese so that it can just go back and flourish.
When I originally heard about this, I'm thinking, oh, well, you got 3 years. We're going to finish up here in Indianapolis. But I wasn't aware. There's actually another year.
Yes.
And it's going to be this missionary thing.
Yes.
Which is a great opportunity, I believe, for our faith.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so often I talk to, I mean, my kids, they all went to college.
Yeah.
They all came back. And they're like, yeah, you know, so when you taught me this about, well, I've heard that it's not quite that way. And it's like, well, wait a minute. What have you been told? You know, yeah. And so many are being told, you know, religion doesn't matter. It's just about being a good person.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's a little bit more to it than that. Because I can be good and still do bad things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can be misled by society so often. And you know, I think this is going to spark that conversation that needs to be had, that says, look, when you became Catholic, when you went through your baptism, all your sacraments, your confirmation, you said yes to God, and here's the chance to take that and show everybody what that really means. Because it's not just about being a good person. It's about conforming your life to what Christ asked us to do. Go out there and be disciples to men. Go out there and take care of the hungry, those in prison, those who need other things.
Sure.
Which, I mean, works great for us knights because that's kind of what we commit ourselves to when we become knights. But a lot of people don't. There's people who go to church on Sunday because, well, I'm supposed to go to church on Sunday, not because they want to go have that personal relationship with God. And it scares me because I hear non-Catholic religions, oh, well, you just need a personal relationship with God and that's all you need. Well, there's you know, God kind of laid out a whole kind of a plan. You know, you need to you need to believe in me. You need to try and live the way I've shown you to live. Because, I mean, really, that's what Christ came to earth, was to show us how to do it right. And then realize you're not going to be perfect. Hence confession. Because there's going to be times when we fail. Sure. The fact that we can leave here, hopefully, with that spark, with that Pentecostal flame, and then take that home and show our kids and show our neighbors and our friends, hey, this isn't just lip service. You know, we live the life we lived because we want to be more like God. We don't want to be God. More than a few people have made that mistake. But we want to be like God. And so I'm hoping that this can lead to that. I mean, is that kind of what the bishops are shooting for?
Well, you know, when it comes to a Congress, it's going back to the basic simple thing of Jesus, you know. Sometimes we can get distracted. Sometimes we are looking another way, another area of things, and then we just forget about, you know, the heart of Jesus, looking through his eyes, loving with his heart, you know, forgiving with his heart. And so, but so many, especially Catholics, have a tendency to go through the motions. They may get lost the way. I mean, we're all called. We all get called, and then sometimes we get lost a little. Sure. And so the beautiful thing about coming together in this National Eucharistic Congress is as a constant reminder. How many times in our life did we need a retreat to remind ourselves, okay, I got to get back on track? Or confession to say, okay, I got to live a certain way. You know, these are those posts, those goalposts to remind us to get on track and to be able to draw closer in our relationship with Christ. And so sometimes in ministries like the Knights of Columbus or the Guadalupanas or the prayer groups or any of the other ministries, there are the fruits and they're the hands and feet of God when they're trying to do other things. But it is also going back to saying, am I being the face of Christ in my family? Am I being the face of Christ? Am I being the face of Christ in my work? Or wherever I go, if I go to a store, you know, how am I living? It's not just clocking in and clocking out. It is, am I being the disciple that God called me to be? And the congresses, the retreats, these gatherings, these opportunities for us to be able to remind ourselves, where am I in my relationship with Christ? So the hope and prayer is that whether you volunteer, whether you go for a talk, whether you just come and witness the procession, however role God calls you, there's a reason why you are invited. And just like anything else, when there is a gathering this large, it is also important for the volunteers that are also called. And the Knights of Columbus have always been one of the first ones that always say, here I am to serve. But we also are reminded that sometimes, especially in leadership or people in ministry, sometimes we're the last ones to feed ourselves spiritually. So we also have to remind ourselves that there's that balance of serving, but also this Congress is to also nourish us spiritually to get us back on track.
Absolutely. Yeah, I know there's three or four men's conferences every year in Indiana because I get to send guys to each one of them. I go to them myself. And, you know, I always work the Knights of Columbus table. Hey, come on, join us. Here's what we're doing to help the church. But then I take the time to go in and listen to those speakers and to self-help, as it were. Listen to them, get that renewal that I need to keep myself focused on what it is that we should be doing. And I agree with you, you know, we're obviously called to serve, but at the same time, we've got to make sure that we take care of ourselves, because if we aren't taking care of ourselves, we're not going to be able to serve. And so hopefully that's something that this provides.
Yes.
Hopefully, as much as I want people to attend, I know I'm going to, one of my roles this year is to track down volunteers.
Yes.
So I'm going to be reaching out to my membership. And it's good because when I've talked to them, you know, I get, I want to be there, I want to help. By the way, will there be a chance for me to step out and listen to some of these things? And I say, yes, we will have different shifts. You can work and then you can go do some of the breakout sessions or the mass, the procession. I just need you for those times that you're not involved. So
Yeah, because sometimes, once again, when people, one thing when it comes to like volunteer, that people get afraid of the word volunteer. It's always go back in, it is called to serve, you know, because it, like anything else, you have to believe in the cause and the mission of what the event is, the gathering is. And so something like this is like, it takes work, but it's so rewarding when you know and you believe in it and you are invested in it. And this is something that you feel God calls you to. Of course, things just go easy. But, you know, so many people could say, you know what, I'll volunteer a day and then the other days I'll go and listen to talks. Great. Others could be like, you know, I'll volunteer in the morning and the afternoons I'll listen to talks. Great. You know, there are options and opportunities, and more details will come on the website as well, hopefully after the Christmas holiday, because everybody's going to be focused in their parishes with all the upcoming. However, my point is that everyone needs to pray and discern. One, pray for the Congress, pray for our bishops, pray for the church. Pray for all this. You know, it's so easy for people to just criticize whether any gathering or event. Well, you know, they didn't have the coffee, or hey, it was too cold, or hey, you know, they didn't promote it this well, or something. You know, when we look at it in those eyes, we have to be very careful. Are we being distracted from the main purpose of it's coming together to renew ourselves in Jesus and to revive ourselves and stuff? So that's the first challenge that I would just invite anyone and all to look at this and say, look, you know, there are, if I'm looking for flaws, I'm going to find them. But if I'm looking for Jesus, I'm going to find him. And so that the question goes back to is, what is the intent when we're looking for things? Number two is, where is God calling me? Because for some people, you know, God is not calling you to volunteer. God is calling you to listen and turn whatever your life is and grow stronger. Maybe you're in a path where you just need that step, one more step to overcome. And for others, it could be like, you know, you know, we need you to serve because you have this gift of maybe speaking a different language, and we may need something like that. Maybe you're great with people. You have great people skills. We need people that are hospitality, not someone that's going to give, not smile and maybe get the attitude. Or maybe, you know, some people are maybe grumpy or so. We're looking for people that's be the face of Christ, because these are people who are coming from far away that are saying, I'm here. And you know, everyone has different gifts and talents. So everyone just prays, discern, and say, okay, God, are you calling me for this as a participant? Or maybe even just to pray. We need a lot of prayer. The bishop needs a lot of prayer. Everyone needs prayer. So let's pray first and foremost. And then wherever God leads you, that's when you can just say, I'm going to talk to my pastor. Maybe I'll call Scott if I'm a knight. Maybe I'll look on the website. Maybe I'll talk to my bishop. Whatever it is, we are here because we are all brothers and sisters, and we are one body, the body of Christ.
Well, thank you so much. Have safe travels home, and I look forward to working with you when we get this rolling here next spring.
Night Vision is a presentation of the Indiana State Council of the Knights of Columbus and Catholic Radio Indy. Night Vision is produced by Z Media Studios in South Bend, Indiana.